From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another Thunder podcast. This is going to be a special episode.
Very special.
I'm very excited about it because there are two things that are making this episode special. The first one is we're going to talk to Royce from DailyThunder.com, part of the ESPN True Hoop Network. It's a good Thunder blog.
It's a very good Thunder blog.
It's one of the best.
It's very well read, so we're really looking forward to getting a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. The other part is I'm back.
Yeah, welcome back. Vito's back.
Vito has returned.
Vito's returned. Don't forget, we got Jason over here, who they like to call Grumpy, but I'm not Grumpy.
Yeah, it's
Grumpy. And we got Kevin, a.k.a. the Chef.
Chefy. I mean, well, that's
Chef
stupid.
Chefs.
Chefs, just chopping people up. What you did while you were gone, you know, what you did was curse the Thunder.
I think maybe I did.
Twice, against really bad teams.
But he also helped them because they beat the Spurs, even though
Kevin Durant disappeared in the fourth quarter. I mean, I guess that's okay, right?
I guess it's okay that they won on the road.
You want your star to disappear in the fourth quarter. Yeah, he's getting a lot better being shown up in the fourth quarter. Yeah.
Please.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, let's start out with the Clippers game they won in L.A. Good win.
It was. It's hard to grab a win on the road. The Thunder have been a little bit better about that this year, especially from how they were last year. And it's not like a win in at the Lakers, but I mean it's still a
kind of like that because it's in the same arena.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
you know, whatever.
Wow, dang,
I almost said in
mood.
Los Angeles, and then I realized that it was in Los Angeles. So that's what the momentary pause was.
No, it's cool, but it is good to all. You got to pick up those road wins, and the thing you got to remember: the Clippers were without Eric Gordon and Blake Griffin, so they needed to win that, which is exactly why they should have beat him the second time they played him in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, where was Kevin Ollie that time? He likes to show up in the Staples Center, but when it comes to the Ford Center, where is he?
Good question.
I like
Kevin
Ollie.
That's a really good question.
He's got a sweet mustache. That sounded really bad. He's got a good mustache. But let's go to the Spurs game. Good win.
Great win. Fantastic win. Maybe the biggest win in the history of the franchise. Not including the Seattle years, the Oklahoma City franchise. What's bigger?
I'm going to say that the win over Orlando was bigger.
I'll say the win over the Mavericks without Kevin Durant and Jeff Green.
No way. This game was a lot more significant.
I'm going to say the win over...
Oh, yeah, because it was the fifth game of the year, something like that?
I'm going to say the...
Oh, was that Mavericks win real significant late in the year whenever they weren't even anywhere in the playoff conversation?
I think it was a little significant because they started the season out so bad that they regrouped without two of their best players and beat the Mavericks with all of their
great Vito,
players.
Did you want to chime in?
Yeah. I was going to say, I think that the Orlando win was big time because they were only missing Rashard Lewis.
And Vince Carter.
Oh, that's right. I don't like Vince Carter, so I don't count him as a quality addition to a team.
You don't count Vince Carter as a quality addition.
We're going to talk about that later. Okay?
Vince Carter used to be really good.
He's a
Vince Carter's still pretty good.
But Vince Carter is just like the Celtics. He's old.
Oh, the Celtics are going to win the NBA this year.
I
bold prediction of the
disagree.
Year.
Well, they've gotten off to a little bit of a rocky start. But
anyway.
This is not Celtics.com podcast.
Yeah.
It's ThunderMadness.com podcast.
Right.
And the thing that we do in the Thunder Madness podcast, thing that we love to do, we've got Mr. Positive, Mr. Negative, brothers at arms.
Yin
I love
and yang.
It. I love to listen to you guys argue. It's my favorite thing. So let's start with Jason. What was the biggest positive?
The biggest positive of the week, obviously, is the win over San Antonio, which I will continue to call the biggest win in this franchise's two-year history because they went on the road. Are you going to let me talk
ahead,
or are we
ahead.
Just going to interrupt each other? Okay. They went on the road to San Antonio. Yes, they won there last year, but this year's different because this year, this is a team people expect to improve. Last year, it was just kind of a fluky win. It was cool to beat them, but this year it meant something. This year it meant something. And in regards to your Dallas comment, that game didn't mean anything. They were already well out of the playoff picture. They were already the Royals in June. They were already way out of it. This year, they have a shot, a legitimate shot. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but they might have a shot. And wins like that are important. That was a huge, huge win. The problem is they didn't show their consistency by losing the next night at home to the Clippers. But huge win. The Spurs were at full strength. Tony Parker and Tim Duncan both in. Huge win and biggest ever. And that's the best of the week with Jason.
Oh, I'm glad the novel's done. Jeez. All right, here we go.
Let's hear the negative.
In regards to the biggest win, I'm just going to say this one more time, it's definitely the Mavericks because they didn't have their two best players. They showed, you know, they lost like, what, they were 3-20-something to start out the year, and then they came back in the middle of the year, beat a really good Mavericks team at home. That's biggest franchise win, so that's – you're wrong. B, I got two worst of the weeks.
Game at home?
Two worst of the weeks. Let me talk. Two worst of the weeks. Silver medal goes to Kevin Durant disappearing in the fourth quarter against the Spurs. Where was he? I'm just saying. He should have been – I think he was in the stands. Watching the game, enjoying the game, like he always does.
You're talking about a win?
No, I think he did that in the Lakers game, too. I thought I saw him up in Section 313 ordering a cotton candy. All right. Two, the gold medal goes to the loss against the Clippers. It was really ugly. They beat them earlier. They should have won again this time. I know Jeff Green was kind of hurt, but their long-range shooting was bad. 3 of 20.
Totally absent.
Kevin Durant did good. Granted, 40 points, and he was there in the fourth quarter. He finally decided to, you know, not play just three. And Russell Westbrook did good, but they didn't have that third guy that stepped up. They out-rebounded the Clippers by like six, and they still lost. That's stupid. That's ridiculous.
Guys, I'm about to blow your mind. I just renamed this segment The Good, the Bad, and the Curses.
I think I like that. I think I like that. That's I'm the good, though, right?
I had someone suggest to me Homer versus Hater.
I like that too.
I kind of like the good, the bad, and the curses. Because Jason tells us the good, you tell us the bad. I'm not saying that Jason's good and you're bad. I'm saying that's what you're talking about.
Well,
anyway.
If you look at it from an intelligence standpoint, I would be the good, he would be the bad. You know what I'm saying?
Because it's always intelligent to be negative.
Speaking of good and intelligence, we will have Royce on the phone after a nice little musical break that we all love to enjoy. We sit around and dance in the podcast studio as it's going. Anyway, but we'll have Royce as soon as the music is over.
All right, we've got on the line, we have Royce Young from DailyThunder.com, a website that's part of the True Hoop Network on ESPN. Royce, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty awesome. How about you guys?
We're good. Thanks for coming on.
No sweat.
The first thing I wanted to ask, and I'm going to throw my brother Kevin under the bus here, but he's a bit of a Kevin Durant hater.
Whoa, how could you be?
A bit is an understatement one.
He thinks he's a choker and he's bad in the clutch. Anything? I want to ask you, do you think that he's bad in the clutch?
Well, it's interesting because I believe on John Schumann of on NBA.com last week actually wrote an article saying that Kevin Durant's one of the top five players statistically in the clutch. So it's kind of interesting. I guess I could kind of see how you could say something like that, but he really hasn't had a whole lot of opportunity to win games in the clutch. The game against the Lakers, obviously, that wasn't great by any means, but when you're not playing big games a lot of times and you're struggling as last year, but you're struggling to be in games, period, you know, he doesn't always have a chance to be that Kobe Bryant or LeBron James, Dwayne Wade type closer. So, I wouldn't say he's not clutch right now, but I don't think he has exactly shown to be extremely clutch either.
Well, yeah. Well, see, the reason I say that is because if you watch that Lakers game, I was there and seemed like down the stretch, he had no points in that the fourth quarter. Am I right?
Is that right? You're right. You're definitely right. He didn't score. He only scored 6 points in the second half.
Yeah, and if you look at him on the wing, he just stood there. And I don't know if he was lazy, or he's just really tired or scared even. So that's my point. It just, I don't know.
It's a good point that you bring up that he might be tired, because he mentioned earlier in the year, you know, he's really, really been focusing on his defense. And I think it's wearing him down at the end of games. He's, you know, he's playing 40, 42 minutes every night. And like last night, he played 85 minutes in two games, which is a ton of minutes coming off of back-to-back. So, that could definitely be something that's affecting him late in games, is that he's just completely worn out and been working so hard defensively.
Well, and do you think that may be part of the reason why he didn't get the ball at all towards the end of the last game when they really needed him? He was on a hot streak, but he didn't touch it for the, what was it, last 4.5 minutes of the game?
Well, yeah, I think that's part of it. I think a lot of it was that I think the Clippers saw that Durant was the offense in the second half, and he had, I think, 18 in the third quarter. And so, you know, he had 33 points going into the fourth quarter. So, if you really watch the last 4 or 5 minutes, they really bracketed him. Al Thornton really stayed tight, but that help coming from both Jimmy Butler and even Marcus Camby kind of stepped out. They really, I think the Clippers really focused on trying to make somebody else beat them other than Kevin Durant.
Royce, I was reading on your blog today. I don't think it was you that wrote it, but somebody wrote about how the Thunder could get Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Do you think that's plausible?
No, I don't. I mean, it's fun to dream it because, you know, we all love Chris Paul around here. He was kind of our first love that we had. But, I mean, in all reality, he is the New Orleans Hornets franchise. And unless, you know, they just completely lost their mind or they're in deeper financial troubles than we originally thought, I don't think there's any way that they could part with Chris Paul. I mean, maybe in a contract year, if they were looking to get something out of it because they knew they couldn't re-sign him, that might happen. But, I mean, it's fun to fantasize about because, you know, how good would a team be with Chris Paul back to Kevin Durant? But I just don't think it would happen. But, you know, doesn't mean it's not fun to think about.
Someone made the comment today that I was talking to. They said if they do that, they can just move away from New Orleans the next day because they would just lose everybody.
Yeah, that's true. I think that fan base completely quit on them. Absolutely. I don't think anybody would go.
What do you think the likelihood is that the Thunder could finish 41-41?
You know, a lot of people ask me, you know, what do you like them to be? And before the season, I saw them as a 32-36 win team. I think my official prediction, as if it matters at all, but I think I predict 35 wins. But really, it all kind of started to change in my mind when they went on the road and beat a full-string San Antonio Spurs team. And, you know, that kind of opened my eyes. Maybe this team is good enough to hover around 500 because, you know, and then they respond and they don't beat a team that they should. And so that's what's going to end up biting them. If they beat the teams that they should beat and then maybe beat a few teams that they shouldn't, yeah, they could hover right around 500. I don't any reason why not. You know, as much as they improved last season throughout the year, if that same thing happens this year, come February, March, April, this team could be pretty solid, especially with the schedule lightening up a little bit in those months.
Yeah, well, okay, this is a little off topic, but when LeBron James signs with the Thunder next year, do you think that Byron Mullins will give up 20? Actually, wait. Who's number six this year?
We don't have a six yet.
All right, so that just, there you go.
Yeah, nobody has to move anything around. It's set up just right.
Perfect. Okay, yeah. I mean, that's, oh, go ahead.
But in all seriousness, what do you think about that, having to switch, wanting everybody to get rid of 23? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, it's funny to me because, you know, we all grew up watching Jordan. Anybody my age, you know, Jordan was everybody's idol, and he's a lot of these players' idols. But I think it's kind of ridiculous because then you know, as far as I know, I could be completely wrong, but only one jersey's ever been retired throughout a sport, and it isn't that Jackie Robinson, 42.
I think so, Gretzky might be.
Yeah,
in
Gretzky's 99 is also retired.
There's a precedent set. I guess you could retire Jordan's after that, but I mean, why don't you retire Bill Russell? A lot of people think Bill Russell could actually be the greatest player ever as well. We all think Jordan is because we lived him, we saw his greatness, and so we all feel like he's the greatest. But you know, there's a lot of other players, I mean, out there. I almost think it's almost disrespecting some of the other really, really great players. Well, Jordan's undoubtedly the best in my mind. I think you're almost kind of disrespecting the Bill Russells, the Larry Bird, Dr. J's, those kind of guys as well.
Well, it's been 10 games into the season. Just sort of, what do you kind of see as maybe some strengths and weaknesses that came out of those first 10 games?
I think strengths is actually the team is able to make adjustments. I don't think last year coming out of halftime, a lot of times Thunder would get ran out of the gym in the third quarter. And actually, the third quarter has been one of the strongest quarters for the team this year. So that's really encouraging. I think another big strength has been not only Kevin Durant's improved defense, but I think much better rebounder than he was a year ago. I mean, he's averaging up around 8 a game right now. Mm-hmm. And the team is just, you know, Thabo Stefanović's defense is carrying the team. But just as a whole, this is, you know, in efficiency, if you look at defensive efficiency numbers, they're in the top five. They were in the bottom 20, 25 last year. So that's winning them games. Weakness-wise, I think that they're still a little soft on the glass. They did all right against the Clippers, but they have to rebound completely as a team. That's the problem. They don't have a guy that's been there and grabbed 12 or 15 rebounds. And I'm also not really sure how well we saw Chris Kaman abuse him last night. I'm not sure how good a low post team this is right now either. Mm-hmm.
Do you think, and I've kind of come to the conclusion, I think they can play with anyone, I think, on any given night, but they're just too inconsistent.
Yeah.
And last night was the perfect example of that, I thought. You think, you agree?
I think a good evaluation is that they play up to everybody and they play down to people, because mm-hmm. there's no excuse for losing to the Clippers last night, especially Sunday night, especially when they don't have Blake Griffin or Eric Gordon. I mean, there's just really no reason to lose that game. And so, you know, I think they play up, they really have to play the Spurs, and they play the Magic, and even beating the Pistons on the road was huge. But I think they come out flat like they did against the Kings or the Clippers.
All right, Royce. Well, I think that's about all the time we had. We really appreciate you coming on today and talking to us. And everybody, be sure to go to dailythunder.com. It's a really great blog about the team.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, thanks, Royce.
Thanks, Royce.
All right, thanks a lot.
Hey, big shout out to Royce again for joining us. Thanks for coming on again, Royce.
It was nice to have him on. He was great.
Good. He knows what he's talking about. He throws stats out there, though, when it comes to Kevin Durant, and that's something I should probably do more research in.
Yeah, because you have nothing to back it up, because you're wrong.
Oh, well, we'll get... I want to punch him.
I love it.
I'm going to someday. I'm sick of it.
I'm sure you are.
Anyway, we missed James's rant last week. I know you're really mad about something, so I'm going to give the floor to you. Let us know how you feel.
All right. There are too many old guys in the NBA. That's just what I'm saying. Too many old guys. We were talking about this with Vince Carter, and I just felt a burning desire to prove my point, a burning bit of anger, if you will. Vince Carter is 32 years old, and he replaced a guy that was 30 but who is just hitting his stride, Hedy Turkoglu. And I know you're about to say something, Jason.
No, I'm not. I'm going to let you go.
All right.
Go, Vito, go.
And I was also talking about the Celtics. Kevin Garnett is 33. Ray Allen is 34. Paul Pierce is 32. They are all so old. And Allen Iverson is the best example of an old guy that's still hanging around and refuses to leave.
No, actually, he did leave Memphis.
I know.
He'll be back.
They're parting ways. He's 34 years old. I think he should retire. I think there is only one player in the history of the NBA that is able to have incredible success in the 30s in age, and that was Michael Jordan. He retired for the first time when he was 30, but he came back from retirement a season later and won 3 NBA titles, but he retired when he was 34. And then came back again, but I like to forget that happened. But these guys are so old. And you guys like him. You said Vince Carter is still a factor. I disagree. I think he's old, and it makes me mad that so many people are just hanging around forever.
Well, okay. Are you done? Did I interrupt?
Yes, you're good.
Go. Okay, two things. Okay, one, I'll start off the first one. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is pretty old and did pretty well for a long time.
That's true.
Okay. Add him to the list, at least for my... I can't think of anybody else on the top of my head because I'm not well-versed in NBA history. Two, you're really mad about this, but what are you going to do to fix it? How should the NBA fix this problem?
Forced retirements at age 32?
I don't think there should be forced retirements, but I think when you're a player like Kevin Garnett and you miss the better part of the important part of a season, they're up in age, their bodies are starting to slow down. Kevin Garnett obviously couldn't make an 82-game... season because he missed how many games towards the end of that season did he miss?
Well, he missed quite a few.
A lot.
You know, Blake Griffin's really young and he's missed a pretty significant portion of this season. So what? When someone gets injured and they're old, that's bad or?
Well, I'm not convinced that Kevin Garnett is back. I don't think he recovered from his injury. I haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
He's a different Kevin Garnett now than he was before the injury. And I completely disagree that the Celtics are going to win it all this year.
By the way you're talking about Kevin Garnett, it's like when a horse gets hurt in the Derby. Should we put him down?
I'm not saying we should put him down. I'm just saying they're so old and they it's difficult to be such a factor. They can at the beginning of the year, but when it comes down to the stretch, when it really matters, they're going to be worn out. I don't think Vince Carter is a factor in the NBA anymore.
I beg to differ. And you picked the Magic to win the NBA championship.
Because of Rashard Lewis, who is still young, Dwight Howard, who is still young.
Jameer.
Hey,
Nelson, yeah.
We're gonna remember this because I'm gonna keep track of Vince Carter. In fact, I feel a segment, a Vince Carter update.
Yeah, we'll have up. A Vito's Vince Carter segment.
Well, nah. If we're gonna do that, I want my LeBron James. I won't go into it, but I can't stand him.
All right, well, maybe we should have a count of how many times LeBron James just appears unnecessarily.
I agree, because I can't stand LeBron James. I already said that. All right, let's get to our picks. I was 1-2 last week. We're all 3-4 right now. Jason, you've lost ground. I've gained ground. You've pretty much stayed the same.
Mr. Consistent.
That's right, and we're going to come to terms with a bet soon. Not now, though. We don't have a lot of time. Tuesday at the Heat, I'm taking the Heat.
Me too. They've been playing well lately.
I'm taking the Thunder in that one. I think that this is a game where, like Roy said earlier, they play up to their opponents. I think they come out a victor.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to see when you're wrong with that one. Okay, we're going to go at the Magic. On Wednesday, I'll take the Magic because they have Rashard Lewis back, and I think Vince Carter's back too.
Yeah, and they may be looking for revenge also.
That's right.
They might be looking for revenge. The Thunder may play up to their opponent, but the Magic will win.
All right, Friday versus the Wizard. Taking the Thunder.
I'm also taking the Thunder.
I'm making that a clean sweep for the Thunder.
Well, we're not done yet.
Well,
No. The last a clean sweep of that game between the three of us for the Thunder.
The last time we all three picked the same was Clippers' loss. We all picked the Thunder.
That's right.
Yeah, and Sunday against the Lakers at Los Angeles in the Staples Center with Jack Nicholson sitting courtside. I'm taking the Lakers.
I'm also taking the Lakers. Can't beat them at home.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the Thunder win.
Okay, yeah, that's stupid.
Mr. Positive is too positive this time.
His glass is all the way full.
They will win this game because...
You're saying that with a lot of certainty.
They will win this game. Absolutely will win this game.
Okay.
Everyone tune in next week when we talk about how wrong Jason was.
That's the first thing we're going to talk about next week.
Or maybe how right I was. So we'll see.
You can gloat next week if you're right. If you're wrong, we're not going to let you hear the end of that.
I'm going to gloat next week. So.
All right. We can't wait to hear that when he's wrong. All right. But we're going to go. This has been fun. Thanks again to Royce. You're a good interview. And you know what you're talking about. Your quality. We'd like to have you back sometime. Anyway, we all got to go. From Vito, from Jason, a.k.a. Grumpy, and from me, the chef, it's been a pleasure. We will see you guys next week. Thank you.
Sounds good.